Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And yes, I'm late to the mic, and I sincerely apologize for that, but this program is, in fact, live. Kate, it's live now. Sorry about the rerun. For those of you who didn't see my note to Facebook and Twitter, I was a little late getting back to the microphone due to blood work in Beckley this afternoon that preceded the fact that in the morning I get to deep throat a garden hose. Yes. That's going to be ever so much fun. I can tell you that I am positively all a titter waiting for it. A little fella with shaky hands. Yay, that's reassuring. Appears to be about 900 years old. Is going to stick a garden hose down my throat and have a look around inside my stomach. Yes, they call it endoscopy in the medical science journals. I call it terrifying. Yay. But, well, and of course, all the trauma and fear that goes with it. Because this is, after all, the... Wait a minute. Let's get this right. Yeah. Greatest medical system, healthcare system ever in the world, now, today, forever. Yeah. So that's what my morning is going to be tomorrow. I mentioned that by way of a... Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. Jump on over to the chat room at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. The tab says chat room. Pick yourself out a screen name, a password. Bang, you're in there. It's a lovely conversation. It's an absolute free-for-all, a multimedia extravaganza. Do exactly that, and you can be part of the whole shebang. Good evening to Anatole and Cali Liberal and Doctor Who and Earther and Irritated Dragon, Jug of Punch, Labor Man, Texas T, Tim from LA, Truth Seeker, and Will from Chicago, all capably moderated by longtime veteran, indefatigable, inveterate chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky, who is a third stage guild navigator who has chosen not to fold space on what must be a rather warm Northern California afternoon. Well, there went Irritated Dragon. Was it something I said? So anyway, that's just by way of information. Here's the deal. I'm going to try to do this tomorrow without anesthesia, because that Versed crap that they use that makes you just forget, you know, 24 hours, gives me the howling creeps. It just feels all sort of CIA black site torture-y to me. And I realize I'm probably over-dramatizing, but that's just me, and we have to live with it now, don't we? If I can't, however... There's an open question as to whether I'm on the air tomorrow evening. Okay? Sorry, I'm answering questions via email. Are you on? Are you there? Is this live? Yes, this is live for the first day of September 2015. To quote that great sage Don Henley, Feel it in the air, summer's out of reach. Empty lake, empty sea, sky, the sun goes down alone. I'm driving by your house, though I know no one's home. I may or may not be on the air tomorrow evening for prayer meeting Wednesday. I'm terribly excited, though, because there's something else in the offing. It appears that I get to meet, and this is exciting, I get to meet Brother Deacon Asa, who is road tripping America right now before Scott Walker gets the chance to build that big wall that'll keep all those dangerous canoodlians out of Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. And don't you canoodlians forget it. And I will try, if I'm not going to be on the air tomorrow evening, I will see to it that Agnes, like, logs into my Twitter, and we send updates to the page so y'all will know. And then the intrepid Carol Baker will also share it out further. So that's how we hope to make it all work. But I really want to be here because I don't like missing any evenings, especially not prayer meeting Wednesday. But this is the first day of September, and that means that something is in order. The first day, the pride of place for the first program of a new month, always goes to Shirley in Wisconsin. Randy, in PA, is always the first past the post. For the first day of the month. And so we knocked out the remaining, thanks to Randy and James in Spain, we knocked out last night's deficit, so we have only our regular fundraising to do this evening. But given that it is the first day of September, that means Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table. That means every dollar gets doubled up to the entire fundraising amount, $200. So your 10 becomes 20, your 20, 40, your 25, 50, 30, 60, 40, 80, 50, 100, 102, and your $200 could become $400, up to the first $200 that come in this evening. And thanks going out, big thanks going out, by the way, to Bob in Texas, who kicked in a big hunk to the remainder of the equipment fund. And we're keeping the equipment fund open primarily so as to upgrade a little bit more stuff so that we'll have we won't have some of the problems that usually attend the program when computers decide to go sideways, not cooperate, that kind of thing. So one other thing relative to fundraising. And by the way, if you want to participate by PayPal, you know the interface is under the tab Contribute. If you prefer the U.S. Mail Service, the U.S. Postal Service, checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, can be addressed to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And thank you very kindly, one at all, for keeping this on the air. You realize that we are fast approaching our 10th anniversary as an internet-only broadcast next month, as a matter of fact. And I find that hard to credit, but it's the truth. Been at this for more than 10 years now. But as regards fundraising, I wanted to mention something. I have something here. It's kind of special, really. Way back a million years ago, we helped
to promote a film that has been seen by many, many people. And in the course of that, we gave away a lot of T-shirts. It was out at Netroots Nation. It was in Vegas, I think. Maybe Minneapolis. No, it was Minneapolis. It was Minneapolis. Gave away a bunch of T-shirts. And we have, and Agnes just recently discovered them, in the Horn Vault. It's down in the 15th sub-basement under the mansion, just past the alligator and sharks with laser beams filled moat. We've got a collection, and it's kind of heavy, of, and I can't tell really how many there are. Let me see here. See, this is real live radio of the one-person show variety. They are full-size, as in full-size like you would display at the movie theater. They are full-size posters. Ciphering. I'd say we've got about 18 of them. Call that 16. Call it 15. We have 15 original for the premiere of the film movie posters from a film called The Last Mountain. And those, and since Agnes found them in the vault, she came to me and said, you know what? These would make great premiums. Just a way of saying thank you to people for helping us keep things going. And I agree. So here's the deal. Now, I don't feature prominently in the film, but I am in it, and part of the plan, and so here's the deal. Everybody contributing, anybody who contributes, up to the, you know, the first, let's see, I may have miscounted, let's say 15. For everybody who does a have a show on me, $200, until they're gone, I will send out one of these posters, and it'll be your choice, signed or unsigned. I thought it might be kind of, because, you know, it's my guy in the red shirt film debut. And if you're fans of Galaxy Quest, we'll remember that. Great actor. Sam. Can't remember his last name. Rockwell, Sam Rockwell, played the guy who had never had a line on the Galaxy Quest program, and his name was Guy Fliegman. I'm the Guy Fliegman of that film. I think I appear in it twice for a matter of maybe a grand total of 6 seconds. But I thought I would, if you're interested, if you want it unsigned, you can have it unsigned. If you want it signed, I'll sign it, and I'll put on there exactly where in the film I appear. And I'm in the trailer. I've even got a line. But I thought that would be a great premium for the month of September for anybody who wants to do a have a show on me. Yes, Tim. Tim in the chat room says, that's it? $200? That's it, $200. You can probably go out on the internet and find one much cheaper. But that's not the point. We're not selling them. We're giving them away. Because they're not doing any good just sitting down in the Kincaid Mansion vault there behind the moat in the 15th sub-basement behind the moat with the alligators and sharks with frickin' laser beams on their heads. So that's the plan. Just send me a note, either regular email or messenger on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. BobKincaid@gmail.com is the email address, of course. Or you can put a note with your PayPal transfer and say, hey, I want the poster. And these are good for the first 15. I mean, these are big. I mean, these are the size of the ones they display at the at the moving picture show. Mm-hmm. And it's all yours as a thank you for helping us keep the horn on the air as we move toward our 10th anniversary. Okay, so we've gotten all the housekeeping out of the way. I'm inclined. Well, it was there on the news this morning. We talked about it briefly when the news broke yesterday. I think was it Tim? Was it you, Tim, in L.A. who brought it to my attention? The fact that the Supreme Court had bounced the vulgar, bigoted, Christianist, evangelical, fundamentalist clerk's plea for religious tolerance all the way from the Supreme Court there in Washington, D.C. They bounced it all the way back to Round County, Kentucky. Well, it got me thinking. I've been passing through Round County, Kentucky, R-O-W-A-N, Round, to the for-profit media anchors. It's Round, not Rowan. Round. I've been passing through there for as long as I've been on this planet. The county seat, Moorhead, is, and yes, I know, we're talking about marriage licenses that are or are not being issued in Kentucky in a place called Moorhead. Thank you, Goddess of Irony. Thank you. She's always there. She's always paying attention. She never misses a lick. So, the county seat of Round County is Moorhead, Kentucky. There's a lovely little state university there. It's kind of the gateway to eastern Kentucky, Moorhead is. Moorhead State University's there. They've done some great work over the years curating the history of Appalachia, and especially eastern Kentucky and southern West Virginia. There was a brilliant alternative music magazine that for a number of years came out of that area. No Depression was its name. I think they've still got an online presence, but they gave up on the print magazine. I used to see it in like the really cool record store in Charleston, head shop, etc. But anyway, Moorhead lies astride Interstate 64 and also in that county is a community called Farmers, just like it sounds, F-A-R-M-E-R-S. Farmers. And it was actually the first community in Round County to be settled. And it was settled by a group of Pennsylvanians. because the farmland down that way is rich, 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 rich. And it was carved out of a couple of different counties. It was formed around 1856, I think. And being like any small rural Appalachian county, a lot of it is just families who have been there from the beginning and stayed there since. Let's see, let me check something. Got a question coming in from Sparky here. That's the poster. Sparky just posted an image of the Last Mountain poster in the Horn chat room. That's it. And so, anyway, some of those early settlers of Round County, Kentucky, it turns out, were more of my ancients. We get around. I mention this because the particular ancient who came from there, the woman's name was Viola Luzetta Choate. How's that for a name? Choate. Her daddy and mama were Abraham Choate and Miranda Lancaster. I always knew there was a reason I had an affinity for Henry V. Never mind. I was rooted for the Lancasters in the Wars of the Roses. And I can't take the family history any further back than that, but that's still a right smart way back, because I think Abraham Choate is born somewhere around 1848. And Miranda Lancaster, sometime roughly the same. Big upheavals happening in the world around about 1848. A huge urge for democracy finding voice in Central Europe, Austria, Germany, Holland. It was brutally put down and resulted in a whole wave of immigration from Europe to the Midwest of America. That's how you get a lot of your Central Europeans, your Germans, your Swedes, Norwegians, etc., Dutch, in places like Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. Glad somebody caught that. Devin's giggling now. Moorhead never misses a lick. He says, you're evil. But in a friendly and nice sort of way. No, damn it, Devin. It's Choate. Choate. Not Chode. Get your mind out of the gutter where mine usually lives. Viola Luzetta Choate was... I mean, that's a mouthful of a name. And she was my father's maternal grandmother. And he loved her dearly. Adored her. You might see where I'm going with this in a minute. She married a man by the name of Joseph Borders Davis. his nickname by the time he got here to West Virginia was Kentucky Joe. My grandmother, Viola Luzetta and Kentucky Joe's daughter, was born at a place called Naugatuck in a county in West Virginia that sits near the Big Sandy River and right across the river from Kentucky in Hatfields and McCoy's country. She was born there at a time when Mingo was referred to as Bloody Mingo in the local dialect. He had come to Bloody Mingo, Pa Davis had, to mine coal. And from there, he eventually, probably for the sake of the well-being of his little family, or maybe just to go to where the work was, moved here to Fayette County, West Virginia, and that was where they spent the rest of their days. Viola Luzetta had 9 live children. No telling how many other miscarriages and stillbirths. Apparently, she and Kentucky Joe were right fond of each other. Interestingly, the name Choate is one of two things, and there's a story that a storyline that comes down through our family that says that that side of the family was actually of indigenous extraction. It's part of that typical white folks thing where they say, "Well, I got a little bit of Indian in me, but I can't prove it." Well, that's where my little bit of Indian story comes from. But the name is also well known coming out of 13th century England as well as the Netherlands at a similar time period. Whole bunch of Choates emigrate to the Massachusetts area and Maine in the earliest colonization phase of North America. One of the most prominent. And, oh my God, it's so exclusive. Boarding schools up that way is Choate Academy, I believe. Somehow or another, though, they wind up in Round County, Kentucky. And I can remember, and bear in mind, I could get lost at a 4-way stop in Round County, Kentucky. I don't know it that particularly well. But there's an exit for two parts on, there's an exit on I-64 for two tiny communities in Round County. One of them's called Farmers and the other is called Sharkey. And my dad, when he would drive back and forth between here and Alabama, always said that when he passed through that part of Round County, he felt like he could just feel Ma Davis getting in the car with him. Like I said, he adored her. And even though she had that big old highfalutin name, Viola Luzetta, everybody just knew her as Loney. L-O-N-E-Y, Loney. And the story is passed down to us that when she found out she was pregnant with her last child, that she tried to run away up the mountain and just die. That tells you a little bit about childbearing in the age before a woman's right to control the workings of her reproductive system were acknowledged by Griswold versus Connecticut and its later progeny, Roe v. Wade. Women frequently did not outlive, in the modern era, on the average, women tend to outlive men in the United States by a couple of years or so. But back then, they didn't. My family history is full of men who have two or three wives over the course of their lives, and it's not all because they were a bunch of philandering galoots. Their wives often tended to not survive childbirth in the name of Jesus. And it was all in the name of Jesus. But my father loved her to pieces. Loved Pa Davis, too. Pa Davis, well, they lived together in a coal company house down in the holler, about 2.5 miles from here. And on that tiny little plot of ground, Pa Davis every year would raise a couple of hogs, grow a garden, and he built himself a smokehouse where he would make his own bacon and smoke pork chops and ham and shoulders and things like that. Put it up for the winter against the lean times. Made his own sausage and bacon. Sunday mornings, when my father was little, he'd take him out to the smokehouse and say, "What do you want for breakfast this morning?" Dad said he always pointed at those smoked pork chops. And he'd take it down from hanging and sharpen up the cleaver or the butcher knife and slice him off a pork chop as thick as he wanted. And take it in, and Ma Davis would fry it for him for breakfast. This, of course, in a time when meat was, as we say around here, right dear. Did you notice his last name? Davis? I was watching and then reading coverage today, and a friend of mine has a saying, "Damn it, them Davises is a rule-oriented lot." And sometimes when Agnes, when I want to sort of bend the rules and, you know, do things in an aim toward just getting them done, Agnes will say something like, "But that's against the law," or "That's not done." And I'll look at her and I'll say, "Thank you very kindly, Mrs. Davis." Rule-oriented. So there I was this morning, watching the news, reading the news, and all of a sudden, it hit me like a bolt out of the blue when I got to this paragraph. This is the AP account. "A county clerk in Kentucky who has invoked God's authority and is defying the U.S. Supreme Court by refusing to license same-sex marriage has been summoned along with her entire staff to explain to a federal judge why they should not face stiff fines or jail time. U.S. District Judge David Bunning moved swiftly Tuesday after a lesbian couple asked him to find Round County Clerk Kim Davis in contempt." At which point, said lightning bolt appeared, and I thought, "Oh my God, please, no, not kinfolks. Can't be. A Davis out of Round County, Kentucky? Probably from Farmers or Sharky, for all I know. is making all this trouble? Please, goddess of irony, don't let her be kin. At which point, the goddess of irony did not tap me on the shoulder and say, oh, but she is. Because, see, the goddess of irony doesn't do that. And anybody who tells you that God speaks to them, you should probably try to get them competent psychiatric help as quickly as possible before they hurt someone. Because, see, Kim Davis, the county clerk in Round County, Kentucky, who has been, and not because her husband's kept dying on her in childbirth like in the 19th century or anything, no, Kim Davis has been multiply married and divorced, and remarried and divorced and remarried. You know, never mind what Jesus said about all that. At the very baseline of Jesusism, he says, well, if you're going to get divorced, don't get remarried. But apparently, Kim Davis, oh no, missed that part of the Bible. She was so busy looking for the parts where Jebus and his daddy, Almighty God, you know, Jehovah, said to be a hating on the Homer sectionals that he done created and made a burning hell for him to live in because he loves them so much. But I guess, and mercifully, if she is kinfolk, she's a right smart ways out. But there's every possibility in the world that she is. This woman, who this morning, when challenged on her continuing refusal to issue a marriage license, said, because someone asked her what authority she was relying on, she said, I'm relying on the authority of Almighty God, who is a higher authority than the Supreme Court. And he'll judge me just like he'll judge you for the things that you're a-doing with you Homer sectionals a-wanting to get all traditional family value married. Oh, she's a hateful thing, Kim Davis is. And she's relatively new to the job, but this is one of those things that you have to kind of take into account when you're dealing with rural America. They're little baronies, they're little satraps, they're little sinecures, and things roll down through families. Her mama was county clerk of Round County for 37 years. And Kim Davis was only elected to be county clerk. And I'm sure the folks, the voters there of Round County figured she'd probably be good at it because, well, Mama was good at it for 37 years. And guess who? And I'm not going to call her Ma Davis because that would be an affront to Loney. But guess who her chief deputy is there in the county clerk's office of Round County, Kentucky? Why, yes, it's her little pumpkin son. And they all go to the same church together. They are a member of the Apostolic Holiness faith, which means that Clerk Davis is forbidden from ever wearing a pair of pants, because that would mean that she was a cross-dresser violating the law set forth in Deuteronomy, saying that women shall not wear the raiment of the menfolk, and the menfolk shall not wear the raiment of the sin-laden daughters of Eve women people. Even though back then, they's all wearing dresses, and the only way you could tell any difference was maybe the baubles of jewelry that went along with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was downright interesting. The way that the Supreme Court does it, appeals for emergency relief are handled by individual justices of the court based upon which circuit from which they arise. West Virginia, for instance, which shares a common border with Kentucky, is in the 4th United States Circuit Court, whereas Kentuckistan is in the 6th U.S. Circuit Court. And so, because Kim Davis's tender, delicate, deeply faith-laden, where she wants to be faithful about it, biblical Christianity, was deeply offended by a couple of women wanting to pick out a China pattern together, she got sued, and Judge Bunning there of the U.S. District Court said, now, ma'am, let me see if I can explain this to you. You have what is called an affirmative non-discretionary duty as the county clerk of Round County insofar as it touches upon wedding licenses, marriage licenses. There are some laws that will prevent two people from getting a marriage license. For instance, like that time when you tried to marry your brother. No, she didn't. She didn't. But Ken closer from first cousin. No incest. Can't get a marriage license for incest. And despite the dire warnings of the likes of Bro-Fro-Mix, Rick Santorum, and pastor, brother, governor, presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman, Mike Huckstaby, you can't get a marriage license for you and your puppy. Right? But outside of that, and within the boundaries established by the court's interpretation of the Constitution, one's duty to issue a marriage license is non-discretionary. And that means that it is a fitting subject for the extraordinary writ called mandamus. We've mispronounced it mandamus. It would actually be mandamus. But that's a writ that, and it's a matter of mandamus. She was a famous Latin American film star, Rita Mandamus. The extraordinary writ will lie against a person like Kim Davis. How do we know this? We know this because one of the earliest and most important of all constitutional law cases in the United States is Marbury versus Madison, which is specifically on point and has to do with the midnight appointments coming out of the spiteful Adams administration and into the new Jefferson administration. And that case is known not so much for the outcome of the original controversy, but for Chief Justice John Marshall's assertion of the authority of the Supreme Court to be the final word on what the Constitution means, on the interpretation of the Constitution. And it's kind of stood that way since like 1803. And there's really not a lot of debate about it, except in right-wing circles, where they say that God, their imaginary friend, has more authority than the Supreme Court does, but they have yet to be able to get God to manifest himself, or herself, or itself, to agree with them. See, that's the problem with your higher laws. And so it is that Kim Davis, or as I don't like to call her, Cousin Kim, please don't let her be family. Please don't let her be family. Please don't let her be family. Who am I trying to kid? There was a reason. There was a reason Loney and Kentucky Joe got the hell out of Round County. I mean, what does it say when West Virginia looks better than Kentucky? Pretty serious, huh? But anyway, so she asked Judge Bunning. Judge Bunning said no. She asked the Sixth Circuit. Kim Davis said, Sixth Circuit said no. You can't impose your religious beliefs on the people of the county because, well, that would violate so many more constitutional provisions than Carter has little liver pills. Yeah. So it went up from the Sixth Circuit to the Supreme Court, and Elena Kagan, Justice Elena Kagan, has jurisdiction over emergency petitions from the Sixth Circuit. And she could, on her own prerogative, her own authority, tell good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, snake handling, strychnine swilling, floor rolling, tongue speaking, Bible believing, Christ based, Christ centered, personal relationship with Jesus Christ clerk Kim Davis to stuff it. But bless her heart, Justice Kagan didn't do that. She submitted the emergency petition to the entire court. And we understand how hard it is to get a majority for anybody who happens to agree with people like the notorious RBG or Elena Kagan or Sonia Sotomayor. And yet, somehow, as we noted on the program last night, somehow or another, a majority of the Supreme Court of the United States said, tell that religious freak to do her damn job. Well, that's possible. Carol asks, isn't Davis her fourth husband's last name? Well, that might provide a little bit of relief if it were not for the fact, Carol, that I have read quotes from Brother Mr. Davis, who said, I'm just an old hillbilly redneck, and I got a gun, and all I got to say is none of them Homer sectionals best come a-looking for my wife at the house. Because freedom.
Wolverines!
Right? Yeah. So you see where the problems might lie. Carol noting, I think you're related to that toothless stump she's married to. He's threatened to shoot anyone who comes near his lovely bride. That's right. She didn't mean to, Sister Davis didn't, but she asked a lesbian, you know, from Beirut. She asked a lesbian to give her some relief for her afflicted religious values. But the thing is, not only did the woman from Beirut say no, you know, Elena Kagan, but a majority of the court did too. So that means you had to have more than Breyer, Sotomayor, the notorious RBG, and Elena Kagan. That means that Kennedy kid must have been in on it, and maybe even that dead-eyed John Roberts. I'm sure that had that come before Uncle Nino Scalia, he would have said, "Well, of course, we gotta take care of your closely held religious beliefs there. I mean, even though you're a heretic that's going to burn in the lake of fire forever and everything because you're not Catholic." But it didn't happen that way. So the reasonable and prudent thing to have done this morning would have been to open the doors of the Round County Courthouse and say, "I took this as far as I could go. I stood by my beliefs. But now we're back to business here in Moorhead." And who wants a marriage license? But no. That would require A, Sister Davis to be a reasonable and rational individual, which she ain't. She is religiously insane. I mean, honest to God. Well, never mind. Probably better leave that alone. I was going to say something about honest to God. If you've got a God that you think compels you to wear clothing, and then I went, but wait a minute. It would seem that through almost all the great sects in the world, the monotheistic God is more fascinated with what people wear than he is with whether they have decent lives or not. I mean, some people have to wear funny hats. Some people have to have a shawl. Some people have to have beards. Some people can't have buttons. Jesus. And Sister Davis has to wear a skirt so long that you can't see her passion inflaming ankles. Probably shouldn't have directly quoted Carol on Brother Davis's lovely bride, because that about sent Robert up near Morgantown into the fantods. His lovely bride? He needs to go see libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul and that thing on his head. Now, Robert, there's somebody out there for everybody. And you get the idea. And I can't help thinking it would not play this way with a Muslim or a Jew or a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Native American indigenous animist. But the court is absolutely delicately tiptoeing around Sister Davis. Because there are not many areas of American law where the court will allow an ignorant freak like her to simply up a big loogie and poom, put a big old lung oyster, big old sinus oyster, right in the face of a couple of hundred years of American jurisprudence. But the fact of the matter is, she now faces one of two things, if only the court has the nerve to enforce its will. And frankly, at this point in time, that's a big if. There is absolutely no guarantee whatsoever that the court does. I predicted, and it turned out wrongly, that it would be sometime next year before the state of South Carolina pulled down the devil's diaper that it had flowing over, well, not over, but in front of its capital. I hope I'm wrong again. And you may not see any parallel whatsoever between the two. But it immediately reminded me of the Oath Keepers out in Ferguson. Got a bunch of freaks with guns walking around looking for somebody to shoot. And they're all carrying guns for God or some such. And they are making, and they make a tense situation far more so. And the police doesn't even have the courage to look at them and say, disband or get arrested. Your choice. And so if you read the coverage and the analysis and whatever by various quarters, not just the for-profit media, you will find that most people say that she now faces either fines or jail. And she's not going to be, she does not face a jail sentence for any particular violation of statute. She will be in contempt of court, civil contempt. The court has the power to imprison a person without charges on nothing more than contempt. And, in the parlance of the law, if the court does so, she will hold the keys to her own cell. You know what that means, right? That will mean that she will be releasable from jail the very instant that she agrees to obey the law. Because we need to understand that at the very most basic level of this entire kerfuffle. What we have here is a woman who refuses to obey the law. We also have a lot of historic parallels. Once upon a time in America, especially in the Deep South, the white folks there had gone to great lengths to make their cities and towns pleasant little places. And they had all kinds of recreational infrastructure. But in the wake of the civil rights movement and the demand for equal protection of the law and equal treatment under the law and equality under the law, white folks in communities all over the South shut down their baseball diamonds, their football fields. They shut down basketball courts. They shut down their swimming pools. Rather than have any people of color use them. Well, this is that. There's a Supreme Court case. I think I've mentioned it before. It's like Porky's Barbecue or Pulled Porky Pig Barbecue. And typically, it was out of South Carolina, and they said, No, we ain't gonna seat no Negroes in our fine, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered barbecue joint because Jesus done told us not to serve the Negroes. And the Supreme Court said, phooey, shut the up. And I forget exactly what the outcome was, but the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian racists said, well, all right then, we'll let them eat here, but we're going to donate all of their meals to the we're going to donate all of the money we get from their meals to the Klan. See? And for the most part, we tend to look back as a people, as a nation, as a culture, and say, God almighty, what a bunch of idiots. And that's what we have now. So in the next week or so, she and all of her deputy clerks, including Precious Lumpkin Sonny Boy, who hopes someday to take to hold the position that Mama now has, they've got to appear before Judge Bunning and explain why it's called a rule to show cause. And they are hailed before the bar of the court to show cause why he should not hold them, each and every one, in contempt of court. I fully expect that Sister Davis, Sister Clerk Davis, will posit to the court that if she is to be punished in the name of Jesus and persecuted, that the persecution should fall, yea, verily, hot glory, upon her, and that her sins not... they're not sins, but her devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ should not cause her precious boy and them seven other deputies to be punished as well. And I'm hoping, because I don't pray, I'm hoping Federal Judge Bunning will say, uh-uh. Nope. In for a penny, in for a pound. I do believe it is this Thursday morning that she is, that Sister Clerk Davis has an appointment with His Honor. But nobody out there expects her to be jailed. Because we can't just run around jailing evangelical, fundamentalist, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, floor-rolling, strychnine-swigging, serpent-handling, tongue-speaking Christians for hating an entire segment of the population and blaming it on their imaginary God. So she'll probably get a reprieve morning after tomorrow. And that'll be good. Because if she was to be shuffled off to the stir, holding, of course, the keys to her own jail cell, then she would probably be outfitted with prison garb, which is, of course, bright orange, most usually, unless, except for some states where it's the more old-school black and white striped, but in any case is more than likely, for reasons of avoiding shrinkage, wear and tear, that kind of thing, a poly-cotton blend, which God, for reasons, because God is obsessed with clothing, who knew that God was Mr. Blackwell, but whom God is particularly offended by. But apparently, that's probably not one of those laws of God that particularly bothers Sister Clerk Davis. She can say, well, you know, that's the kind of thing that was washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ that is shed upon the tree in grace for us all. So even though I would go to hell for wearing a cotton microfiber blend or them nylon lycra pantyhose, well, the grace of Jesus Christ washes that away. But it won't wash away the staining of homosexuality. Because that's one of your major sins, I asked him. Then there's the whole divorce thing, but never mind. So that what will probably happen is that he, the judge, will probably let this good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered patriot who has an evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual hubby. I do hope he has to walk through a metal detector on the way into the courthouse. I mean, just saying. He'll probably let her walk, and he's going to say, honey, I'm going to fine you $100 a day for the first week. And after that, it's going to be $200. And after that, it'll be $3. And we'll just keep going up until you decide to follow the law. And she'll look at him and say, Your Honor, you have no power over me on this earth any more than the devil does. I don't answer to nobody but the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. Hallelujah, glory. Can I get an amen at a Kickstarter campaign? Because there's the trick. There's the trick. The judge cannot fine her more money than the bigots and the evangelical amosexual fundamentalists in this country will pony up. What, did it take 2-3 days Tomaine Pizza or whatever out there, a historic pizza out in Talibandiana, to raise 0.8 million dollars? There's no amount of money that these bigots won't pony up for her. And here's the fun part. Guess what? She's got a free lawyer, too. She's represented by the Liberty Council. Free lawyers for religious bigots. Mm-hmm. So there won't need to be any legal defense fund, because all her lawyering is for free. Now, granted, if you're getting thrown out of your Section 8 housing and you're poor as Job's turkey and brokered in the Ten Commandments, you're going to have to meet all kinds of financial requirements and jump through all kinds of hoops to get an overworked legal aid lawyer who will try to keep a roof over your head in court. And you may not get him or her. But if you are an ignorant, bigoted, dumbass, stump cletuset, ignoring constitutional provisions that are 200 years old, well, Jesus has a lawyer for you. And once again, all the donations that come in that support all those lawyers, it's tax-free, baby. Tax-free. And it's all tax-free. Remember the song? Yeah. Randy asked a couple of minutes back. 10 minutes back. Can't she simply quit her job? It is unlikely that she can fulfill her job whilst under house arrest. Randy, she won't quit her job because she is being persecuted for her faith in Jesus Christ. At least that's how she's spinning it, and that's how a substantial part of the population of this country and 53% of the citizens of the Commonwealth of Kentuckistan see it. He said right there in the book that many will be persecuted in my name's sake. And I am. I are. Oh, I love Jesus so much. If I didn't love Jesus so much, I'd go against his will as I have decided it is, because he ain't around to tell us nothing and never said nothing about homosexuals in the New Testament, no how. But, oh, glory, I loves Jesus so much, I can't be sanctioning two men's or two women's to be a loving of each other, no. And only if the fines don't work. Will the federal district judge then even remotely consider the idea of jailing Sister Clark Davis for her contempt? Because truly, this is contempt for the court. It's not just contempt for the federal district court or the circuit court. It's contempt for the entire American system of justice, such as it is. Dr. King, they locked him up in Birmingham jail. He wrote a letter from Birmingham jail. And now these evangelical fundamentalists flog his corpse and drag it around like a little red wagon, as if there was some similarity between between them and him. All he had to do was stop begging for freedom. And he wouldn't. Sister Clark Davis, however, on the other hand, is begging the court to allow her to bring her revolting, vulgar prejudices to bear upon a public that she has no right to compel to her weird, bizarre, twisted, sick religious faith. I mean, it would be entirely too cruel to sit here and hope that she would be, oh, I don't know, jailed in contempt and given a cellmate who might introduce her to the love that dare not speak its name. But then again, once you put on that first pair of pants, it's all over. You're going to hell. The complainants and the ACLU both have asked that this woman not be jailed. In other words, even if they're not Christians, they are better Christians than she is, ever has been, or ever will be. I'm sure by now you've probably seen her interviewed somewhere on TV or heard her on radio, and you can just hear the venomous, vile Christian contempt dripping from her lips. She hates homosexual people. She despises them. She would just as soon they were in hell already. Because she, Sister Clark Davis, knows that that's where they're going. This is the dominant religion of the United States of America. But there are more issues simply than the fact that she flouts the religious teachings of her own doctrine. The AP article says, before retreating into her inner office, Davis asked David Moore and David Ermold to leave. It was the fourth time the couple had been rejected, and they refused, surrounded by reporters and cameras. "We're not leaving until we have a license," Ermold said.
"Then you're going to have a long day,"
Davis told him. From the back of the room, Davis's supporters said, "Praise the Lord! Stand your ground!" I'm not sure if that meant that they were encouraging her to shoot the two men, but that's what stand your ground means in modern parlance. Other activists shouted that Davis is a bigot, because she is, and told her, "Do your job." The sheriff then moved everyone out to the courthouse lawn, where James Yates and Will Smith Jr., denied a license for a fifth time, left red-eyed and shaking. Yates said, choking back tears, as he and Mr. Smith held hands on the way to their car, "It's just too hard right now." There is nothing in the teachings of the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi whereby he told any of his followers to ever deliberately try to make other members of the human race miserable. In fact, he had good words for those who didn't. In fact, he commanded his followers to try to make life less miserable. Clothe the naked, feed the hungry, house the homeless, visit those who are sick and in prison. There's not a word in any of the actual teachings of that itinerant semi-literate rabbi that says they should, he wants anybody to hurt anyone else. It's a big part of why he got murdered in the name of the state. By the way, I was telling you my great granddaddy's name was Kentucky Joe. Yeah, that's hubby's name too. Kind of gives you a cold chill. David Ermold said, "I feel sad. I feel devastated. I feel like I've been humiliated on such a national level, I can't even comprehend it. But understand, the Christians like that." And please, at this point in time, spare me the not all Christians argument, okay? I understand that. But it's of the same vein as "no true Scotsman" and "not all cops." We're not concerned with all of them. We are concerned with this one and the ones who support her. Sister Clark Davis, even beyond the divorce issues, is a giant ball of roiling hypocrisy. How do I know? Because back in February, Cameron Collin and Alexis Collin, C-O-L-E-N, they walked in to the Round County Clerk's office and asked Sister Clark Davis for a marriage license. And Sister Clark Davis looked at him, looked at her deputies, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians all, and said, Oh, you don't have to look at their birth certificates. Just give them a license. Yeah, which worked out nicely, because had she looked at Cameron Colon's birth certificate, she would have found that Cameron Colon was born female. And back in 2010, had transitioned to a state of being commensurate with his gender identity. Bless their hearts. Cameron and Alexis have a beautiful little child. Cameron said of their trip to get a marriage license, she just saw a straight couple in love, and she should see everybody like that. She shouldn't just see straight couples like that. But we know for a fact that Sister Clark Davis didn't come up with this by herself. This is all managed, stage-managed, and orchestrated. And you know that because of her decision to stop granting any marriage licenses. Because when it appeared that the tide was going to turn against the vulgar bigots, that's precisely the argument that they began to make. That they shouldn't. That if there was going to be any gay marrying, that we should just get rid of marriage altogether and get government out of it and leave it in the churches where it done begun in the first place. And so they're trying to force another crisis. And what these fools don't understand is that they are killing their own religion in so doing. See, I'm one of those optimistic people. I'm always looking for a silver lining, and there it is! And along the way, well, just in case they don't get to hell, them Homer sectionals don't get to hell fast enough, Sister Clark Davis is going to make sure they experience hell right here on earth, because her love in Jesus done told her to. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope I made up for being tardy with this hour and a half filibobster. There, I hope I haven't bored y'all to death one way or the other. Since I do not ascribe to the Christian faith and feel no compunction toward forgiving people who are deliberately nasty, I think the appropriate remedy for Sister Clark Davis would be, in fact, because she's already admitted she's not going to pay any fines and she's not going to resign, don't waste any time Thursday morning, Your Honorableness, Your Ornery. Stuff her. Send her to the sneezer. Put her in the clink. Assign her to the hoose gal. I mean, we've been through this. Back long about 1917. Not too terribly far away from Round County, down in Fentress County, Tennessee, there was a young hell-raising drunk by the name of Alvin York, whose mama tried to raise him right, And she was part of a primitive pacifist sect. And when Alvin got drafted, even though he was a hard-working, hell-raising drunk, I mean, Jesus, you know, we're hillbillies, okay? Comes with the territory. Well, he didn't feel like it'd be right for him to go and kill nobody, because in the book, it says right there, thou shalt not kill. And this is before the full development of conscientious objector status. And he applied for an exemption from the draft based upon his closely held religious beliefs that he didn't have any business out there killing of Germans or anybody else that didn't have it immediately coming and by whom he was not told by God to go and do it. And the federal government said, no, sorry, you are not a recognized religious sect with an official creed that forbids participation in warfare. And the rest, as they say, is history. Prevailed upon by superior officers, Alvin York decided it would be all right to go over and participate in the great industrial slaughter that we know as the great industrial capitalist slaughter that we know as the First World War. This is that. There's nothing about being apostolic or apostolic holiness that conveys special status to trump the Constitution of the United States. That's why we have a separation between church and state. That's why, as a matter of fact, there's a constitutional provision that says there will be no religious test for the holding of office. IPI in the chat room says, Bob, you can't give the power of marriage back to the churches. After all, some churches freely marry gay couples. But you see, Pi, that puts the lie to their whole argument. Or actually, not puts the lie to it, but exposes it for what it is, and them for what they are. They are, in point of fact, anti-American. Because they do not like the country in which they live. They do not love their country because they seek to overturn constitutional government in favor of a theocracy. I, without even knowing the name of the pastor, the minister, the reverend, the brother, the whatever, without even knowing his name, and I'm pretty sure it's a he, might be a she, pretty sure it's a he, without even knowing the name of the pastor, I can guarantee you that at any time in the last couple of years, last 8 years, shall we say, you could walk into Sunday services there and hear that hootin' moron haranguing the faithful with the idea that America has to get back to God. You've heard it. We played that kind of stuff on prayer meeting Wednesday, which in a way I guess we're kind of making up for in case I'm not here tomorrow. But like I said, not being a Christian, I suggest that the Honorable Judge jump past that fining stage, simply on the understanding that they will that via Indiegogo or GoFundMe or Kickstarter, if they're not already formed up by now, that they will be in short order, and she will become a millionaire. For spitting on the rule of law. And the court, despite what the ACLU says or the petitioners, the court should refuse to participate in what would eventually be a fraud upon the court. The court should never be pimp to its own defrauding or the defrauding of the people of the United States. Send her up. And for all the argument that, oh, no, that would make her persecuted and they'd set her up as a martyr, fine. Let's see how long those Christian values last. I mean, I remember during the hunting of the cleanest, a couple of people that were jailed on contempt under brutal circumstances just because they wouldn't tell Kenneth Starr prurient stories of Bill Clinton's penis. Being as how the Christians love their martyrs. If she wants to be one, let her. But not just Sister Clark Davis. She doesn't get to be Jesus and suffer for all her deputies. Send them too. Because until this kind of conduct is affirmatively opposed and absolutely stopped, these right-wing theocrats, these Taliban Christians, will continue to bully the rest of the country. And it's as simple as that. So next time I toddle down I-64 and I pass that exit sign that says Farmers and Sharkey, I'll think of my dad. And I'll think of Loney. And I'll think of Kentucky Joe. And I'll think of how happy they must have been to get the hell out of Round County. It is 5 minutes past 8 o'clock, 55 minutes remaining in the program this evening. Here endeth the filibobster, I think. No guarantee. But we'll come back to your calls. 304-574-8178. We got somebody waiting on the stress line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Thanks to Jay. Jay responding to Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Jay's 25 became 50. Just that quick. All we need now is $175 more to get doubled up and meet the challenge, and hopefully we won't leave a challenge laying on the table. Shirley gets great merriment and great joy out of her first-of-the-month challenge. By the way, a quick update. Michael in Madison said, did I hear you mention No Depression? The last print edition was in 2008, and it was an awesome magazine. But the online site was purchased a number of years ago, and they go back into print this month. Well, I'll be damned. Looks like they're relocated in San Francisco now. Well, I will have to see about a subscription. Although I wonder if it can be as good. And lo and behold, the photograph accompanying the article from May the 11th, the photograph is of none other than Lauderdale County, Alabama's own Jason Isbell. So, yeah, 7 minutes past the hour. We'll take a little break. It being Tuesday and they being off Thursday and the following Tuesday, we've got the Green News Report coming. And courtesy of Ron and Raleigh, a long-distance dedication going out to Sister Clerk Davis. It's Bobby Brown on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Do what I want to do.
It's my prerogative.
Can you live? What is this, a blizzard that I can't have money in my pocket and people not talk about me? This world is a trip. I don't know what's going on these days. Got this person over here talking about me, this person. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. This is my prerogative. I can do what I want to do. I made this money, you didn't. Right, Ted? We out of here.
It's Tuesday, September 1, 2015.
We are not moving fast enough.
President Obama makes powerful case for climate action on the edge of the melting Arctic.
Amazing. At one point, we had four category hurricanes in the Pacific.
2015 hurricane season has now entered weird, record-breaking territory. Huge news for electric cars. Plus,
the guy saw that mountain when he was one of the first up there and named it after the president. No reason to change it.
Right-wingers apoplectic over renaming of nation's tallest mountain.
All of those stories and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You said, oh, Bill Maher, he's going to drag me through the mud.
Yeah.
First of all, you're in California. It hasn't rained in 4 years. There's no mud.
Yeah.
It's true. There's no mud here in California. None. Zero. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, you seemed to be quite moved by the president's speech up in the Arctic.
Yeah, it was a very, very powerful speech, and I highly recommend listening to it. He was at the Glacier Conference in Alaska. He called for urgent and aggressive global action on climate change. The Arctic is warming twice as fast as the rest of the planet, and with that background of melting glaciers and melting permafrost, Obama emphasized the need to act quickly or suffer the consequences.
The Arctic is the leading edge of climate change. It is happening here. It is happening now. And climate change is a trend that affects all trends. Economic trends, security trends, everything will be impacted.
And he was blunt about the consequences of continuing business as usual.
The fact is that climate is changing faster than our efforts to address it. We are not moving fast enough. If we were to abandon our course of action, if we stop trying to build a clean energy economy and reduce carbon pollution, if we do nothing to keep glaciers from melting faster and oceans from rising faster and forests from burning faster and storms from growing stronger, we will condemn our children to a planet beyond their capacity to repair.
The Glacier Conference coincides with the United States taking its turn as leader of the Arctic Council. That's made up of all 8 countries that have territory in the Arctic, including Russia, which is now asserting even more territorial rights. Here in the U.S., environmental groups have called hypocrisy on Obama's approval of offshore oil drilling in the fragile Arctic, which will release even more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere.
Did the president speak to that apparent contradiction, decrying climate change, even after he's approved drilling in the otherwise pristine Arctic?
No, but Obama administration officials have previously said that their focus is to balance the needs of competing stakeholders, and we still need that oil, so that justifies drilling.
Okay.
Right-wing media, meanwhile, are apoplectic over Obama's announcement to restore the original Native American name to the nation's tallest mountain. Mount McKinley, named for early 20th century President William McKinley, who never actually visited it, was named by a gold prospector, a white guy. McKinley died in office a short time later. Now the mountain will be called what it has been called for thousands of years, Denali.
It's hysterical because Alaska is completely in favor of this. The only ones who seem to be furious about it are the right-wingers and the folks from Ohio, including Republican Senator Rob Portman, who said the mountain was named for President McKinley out of respect following his assassination. Newsflash for Republican U.S. Senator from Ohio, Rob Portman. The mountain was named Mount McKinley years before McKinley was killed.
Meanwhile, for the first time in recorded history, on Saturday, there were a record 3 simultaneous typhoons, all Category 4, churning in the eastern and central Pacific Ocean. Just to keep that in perspective, until this year, there had been only 3 hurricanes total in that region since 1950. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced that the Pacific Ocean is currently warmer than it has ever been in recorded history. And over in the Atlantic Ocean, newly formed Hurricane Fred is the farthest east a hurricane has ever formed off the coast of Africa, and it has generated the first ever hurricane warning for the Cape Verde Islands. The first ever in history. Finally, big news for the car industry. Electric car maker Tesla has again achieved the highest possible rating from Consumer Reports, 103 on a 100-point scale, the only car ever to do so. And BMW has announced that it is going all electric. Within 10 years, it will build only electric plug-in hybrid cars, converting its entire fleet in anticipation of stricter carbon emissions laws as the world transitions to clean energy.
Every BMW will be electric or hybrid in one way or another.
Yep.
In 10 years.
Yep, it's happening.
It's happening. For much more on all of these stories today and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It is happening here. It is happening now.
Right here.
I love that song. 19 minutes past the hour. There won't be a Green News Report this Thursday or this Tuesday, as Brad and Desi are doing some vacationing for the Labor Day weekend. Unless things go completely sideways, I fully imagine we will probably be doing a program for Labor Day. Just a nice way of honoring working people. And thank you. Thank you very kindly to Gerald, nightly winner of the Hitler pool. I still don't know how he does that, but he does. See, he even had 8:19 p.m. Thank you, Gerald. Gerald just answered the bell, as it were. And there's the bell regarding Shirley's Wisconsin challenge. And so he follows in alongside Jay. And Jay took us down to 175 to go. And let's see. Wait. Oh, damn. This is going to be a problem. There's two. We were double zeros. And hey, it's 10 minus 6 is 4. And then 9 minus 4 is 5. Okay, so we're down to 150, 154 to go with a little ciphering. And, oh, goodness gracious. There's Carol Baker. And, okay, 4 minus 1, it's 5, 4, carry to 17. We are down to 139.43 to go with fundraising on the evening. 139.43, and whoever's got that or some portion thereof, it all gets matched, that is, doubled by Shirley in Wisconsin. And thank you to Shirley for being our first challenge of every month. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks again to Bob for taking a big bite out of the fundraising campaign. Much appreciated. Much appreciated indeed. Because, you know, when we do get to the point, we've got all the equipment together and I can start doing the fill-in work, I want everything to sound right and not having weird little noises or computers that go, would be nice, you know, for professional broadcasting. Yes, indeed. Hey, let's run over to the stress line, where none other than Devin, up in the northern part of the state, awaits. Hey, Devin. Wait a minute. Have I got to? Hold on. I don't know how that. There you are. There you are, Devin.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, hello.
Man, that sounds a lot better.
Well, thank you. That's because, for some reason or another, the phone decided to default back to the speaker. It works better when it's actually running through the magic board.
Yes, Bluetooth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I understand you correctly earlier that the goddess of irony never misses a lick for Moorhead?
You absolutely did.
Yeah, I just about died when you said
that. Well, I
mean,
I live in her service, okay? I just opened my mouth and I'm slain in the spirit, and boom, there it goes.
Well, the goddess, she is powerful.
Yes, she is. For an imaginary creature, she wields a great deal of influence. I think she can
put the words right in your mouth.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad it's only words.
Oh, well, it's been a long time, so.
Oh, it has been.
I think this will work itself out down there.
But Devin, it worked itself out in Alabama too. But before it worked itself out, you had George Wallace standing on the symbolic doorway of the University of Alabama to make sure that none of those people could go to the capstone.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it has to come to that before they'll finally, you know, chicken out and scurry back underneath their rocks.
Well, I mean, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, how would you like to see it work itself out?
Well, it would be nice if somebody would just, remove these people who won't do their job from their job.
Yeah, and you know how that happens? I mean, every now and then we have one of these little things. This is actually, although no one will call it this, this is actually a constitutional crisis in our country. Because as Andrew Jackson asked of John Marshall, John Marshall has made his ruling, now let him enforce it.
Yes.
And there's some previous, I forget, some god-awful bloodthirsty murderer who said of the Pope, how many divisions does the Pope command? And the idea of civil society rests on the notion, and it is apparently a tenuously threaded one, that we have a common agreement that we do not wish to live like a bunch of barbarian freaks and be, you know, Somalia with cable and warlords, and we'll just gun down the people we don't like and hope the other ones don't gun down us. And we do have, in this instance in Kentucky, a constitutional crisis. Because Sister Clark Davis, Devin, can be removed from office. She can be impeached. Yes. She can be impeached by the entire sitting legislature of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And that's why I said earlier, you know, I was proven to be absolutely wrong about the removal of the devil's diaper from South Carolina. And I would like to be proven wrong about this. But you tell me, I mean, you're hillbilly just like I am. You tell me how many members of the Kentucky House and Senate are going to vote to remove a God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian with a personal relationship with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from office. How many? Two-thirds? Really? How about a simple majority?
Highly unlikely.
And here's the fun part. There's no way for the federal government to get her out of office. None. Zero. Zilch. Zip. Nada. Niente.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know what can be done as far as that's concerned, but it would be nice if somebody could at least stand up in the legislature and say, you know.
Oh, there. I mean, there might be one or two that would do that. I mean, yeah. You're bound to have a couple of heathens in the Kentucky legislature. If what I'm told
from a city or something, you know.
Right. If what I'm told by Kentucky friends like Corey in the Free State of Louisville, or our buddy Dennis, my lawn mowing buddy, if what they tell me is true, you know, there are heathens, hellbound heathens, to be found in places like Louisville. Or maybe Lexington.
Well, of course, I mean, and Berea.
Oh, I think they got a lot of heathens in Berea. I mean,
judging by how many liquor stores there are, I mean, you know, and these aren't just, you know.
Wait, in Berea? None.
Your corner liquor store, you know, these are like the size of a Sam's Club. But,
we're talking about Kentucky. That ain't liquor. That's sacramental spirits. I mean, good God, yeah. Bourbon is the national is the official state drink. I mean, they put it in baby bottles down there. But as for Berea itself, yeah. There ain't no liquor in Berea. There ain't even no beer. I mean,
well, it's nearby.
Okay, yeah, you got to drive up to, Cambridge or something. I forget what.
Yeah.
But Berea's yeah. Right. I mean, there was a whole bunch of Episcopal, 32nd Exalted Noble Turks or something that wanted to have their annual meeting there at the Daniel Boone Hotel on the campus of Berea College. And they actually had to, and you know, your whiskey Episcopals have to drink in order to prove themselves worshipful of the Lord God Almighty. And they had to convene. I'm not kidding. They had to convene a meeting of the trustees and the Grand Mufti of Berea and everything. They had to convene a meeting to pass a special rule that would allow Episcopal 32nd degree noble Turks to have wine with dinner. Not a joke.
Oh, yeah. Well, my experience with Berea was from the McDonald's/Walmart parking lot taking pictures of the transit of Venus this last time. That's where we ended up, where there weren't too many clouds.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we went to Lexington and then south.
I imagine you could probably find something, yeah. So you were anti-cloud chasing.
Yes.
But by the way, just to sort of stay tied into the topic, just so you know, this disease down in Kentucky, Stan, is metastasizing.
Yes.
Because it's not just Sister Clerk Kim Davis. Casey County Clerk Casey Davis. Oh, really? The county clerk of Casey County is Casey Davis. And he's not even related to Sister Clerk Kim Davis. He went on some radio show down in Huntington here, by the name of the Tom Rotten Morning Show. Can't make this up.
I've heard of that one.
To talk about how he's being persecuted in the name of Jeebus.
because of them Homer sectionals who wants him to let them have traditional Christ-centered family values marriages. When they wasn't even showing up with a goat to goat or a chicken or a camel or a sheep to or no gold nor jaspers nor gemstones with which to bargain for the with which to bargain with the daddy of the bride for the property transfer.
Well, some of that traditional biblical man on dog action too, you know.
Well, there is that.
Because you know they did that.
Well, sure they did. And Adam knew Fido. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never heard it put that way before.
Well, that's why that but that's why you listen to the program, then. Lots of things.
Oh,
but,
dear.
But here's the fun part. And hopefully you can hear it there on the stress line. I actually have audio of Casey County Clerk Casey Davis, Brother Clark Davis, we'll just call him, there on the Tom Rotten Morning Show in Huntington, West Virginia. Oh, mercy. So I might suggest, just for the good of all concerned, Devin, that you go ahead and grab the hockey puck and have it to hand, okay? Yeah, you ready for this?
All right.
Yeah, stand by.
I think that's a travesty to think that just because he don't see it this way or his opinion is to let same-sex marriage go and it's all right, that us as Christians, we as Christians just don't have rights anymore. That's wrong, sir. I mean, that's not right.
Casey Davis is the county clerk of Casey County. So this county was actually named for you, right?
I tell people that all the time. That's a little joke that they named it after me. But no, I'm satisfied I was named after it.
Yeah. And there is, just to be clear, though, the other county clerk that's been taking a stand in Rowan County, Kim Davis, you have the same last name. There's no relation there as far as you know.
She is my sister in Christ. And yeah. that's but as far as...
You're my sister. Sorry.
The blood that makes us relative is Christ's blood. And I...
Oh, God. Don't you get a little tired with all the barbaric blood references that these Christian freaks wallow in?
I joked with her about this when all this started. She's a Democrat, and I'm a Republican. Mm. And I told her, I said, maybe Kim in all of this, maybe.
If she's a Democrat, I'm the czar of all the Russias. I mean, just saying.
Somebody in the higher authorities of this state and this nation can see that Democrats and Republicans can work together on something.
Mm. You know, when it comes to vulgar bigotry, they're right there together. In the name of Jesus.
And I said, you know, as the time goes by, I realize this more and more. It's not a Republican or a Democrat thing. There's people out there that's making it political. But this is not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's not a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, Apostolic, Catholic, Separate Baptist. It's not a denominational thing. It's a war on Christianity. And if there was ever a time that we can all be of one mind and one accord, it's now, because surely we can agree by the blood of Christ. But
no, we can't, and don't call me Shirley.
There is a travesty taking place with the Supreme. That Supreme Court ruling was completely unconstitutional. Completely unconstitutional. They had no right to tell us, the state of Kentucky, that our law that was voted with over 70% of the people, that it was wrong. They had no right.
Yeah, but and see, here's and we're coming back to Devin in a minute. But here's the fun part. Anybody want to guess what the approval percentage was on any given Jim Crow law in the Old South? Anybody? I mean, it was like when Saddam ran for president of the Iraq, such as. I mean, 90%. 99%. Because there ain't much real democracy going on there. The bigots voted the way the bigots wanted things to be. So, no, that's really not a compelling argument, is it? But we're not to the real hockey puck part. Devin, you still got the hockey puck in?
Yeah, I done chewed through it.
Oh, damn it. Get another one. We're not there yet. Stand by.
I heard... No, hang on. I heard something about... blood sex with a duck, and it was consensual. It's really hard to understand what he's saying.
Some of the finer points of Christianity are, Devin. And by fine, okay. I mean by fine, I mean disgusting. So get the hockey puck back.
Let me get my carbide puck out.
Yeah, you might want a carbide puck for this. But wait, don't let it get wet. All right, all set.
Section 26 of the Bill of Rights of the Kentucky Constitution. I'm gonna misquote it, but it clearly says that the higher powers, which were
Don't you love these Christian liars? Section 26 of the Kentucky Bill of Rights says I'm gonna misquote it, but it clearly says. In other words, he's telling a lie right here, right now. You know, watching the world wake up to history.
Delegated by this body should they ever deem any sort of law that would be contrary to our Bill of Rights, that it would be void. That law would be void.
Right. And of course, neither Brother Clark Casey Davis. Nor Tom Rotten seems to have any conceptualization of the nature of constitutional governance or the supremacy of the federal constitution to the state constitutions. Because, well, after all, there's all kinds of constitutional provisions back 155, 160 years ago, talking about the right of white people to own dark skinned people and how couldn't no intermeddling. Kenyan Muslim, you slurper zealots in Washington ever take that right away because the black folks was born to be slaves and the white folks was born to be masters. I mean, it's all over the place. But being a Christian liar, brother Clark Casey Davis and Tom Rotten, well, they're just not interested. But here comes the fun part.
I wish everyone listening this morning would take the time to look at Section 26 of the Bill of Rights of the state of Kentucky and tell me how it is that any Supreme Court judge or otherwise cannot recognize that what they've done is completely unlawful. It is completely unlawful. Our law says one man and one woman, and that is what I held my hand up and took an oath to, and that is what I expect to. If it takes it, I'll go to jail over. If it takes my life, I will die for, because I believe I owe that to the people that fought so I can have the freedom that I have. I owe that to them today, and you do, we all do. They fought and died so we could have this freedom. I'm going to fight and die so my kids and your kids can keep it.
Yeah, you got that, Devin? He's going to die.
Nasty and oozy came out of my speaker. What's that about?
That was just Christianity.
Oh, okay. And there was something about an unlawful waffle or something.
And there's that whole business about how he's going to fight and die for Christianity. I wish he'd just blow past the fight part and get ahead and go on and die. I mean, and I'm not trying to be mean here, because when he dies, he's going to go meet blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Christian, white folks, Jesus. And I know he's all excited about it. And they're going to sit around in heaven forever listening to Lawrence Welk.
Man,
and that won't, and that, and,
and just go back and worship Thor like he's supposed to.
Well, heathens, I mean, what do you want?
I mean, you know, be a proper white supremacist, go worship Thor, shave your head, and go on with life.
Well, no doubt. I mean, Gerald's having a low-grade conniption over here as well. He said, is he calling in a radio show or preaching a sermon? Section 26 has a lot of stuff in it that I'm just going to pull right out of my ass. And that's about, I mean, I'm probably saying it wrong, but it clearly says that because I don't like Homer sectionals.
We just need to get some pictures of this guy doing his man on dog action, and then you'll have to get up there and you have to pray and
well,
beg
careful, or they're
forgiveness.
You got to be careful, or the next thing they're going to do is show us pictures of his traditional family, Christian values family.
Is there a difference between that and man on dog?
Now quit that. You're just being mean. All right, I got your section.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if he's married to his sister there, I mean, you know, that might be what you're talking about. I don't know.
I got your section 26 here. Since God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, snake-handling, tongue-speaking, floor-rolling, strychnine-drinking, Casey County Clerk Casey Davis couldn't remember it, I got it right here in writing. I don't reckon he had the interweb tubes there when he was on the phone with Tom Rotten, but it says here, Kentucky Constitution, Section 26, general powers subordinate to Bill of Rights. Laws contrary thereto are void. You know, void the barber. To guard against transgression of the high powers which we have delegated, we declare, and declare has got a capital D, it's kind of like the way the Germans capitalize nouns, only this is just a verb. We declare that everything in the Bill of Rights, and that should be capitalized, is accepted out of the general powers of government and shall forever remain inviolate, and all laws contrary thereto or contrary to this here Constitution shall be void. Void? Void. Call up Goober and tell him the distributor cap needs a changing. Void? No. That doesn't say what he says it said. Because
whose interpretation of the Bill of Rights?
Well, the thing is, there's this little old thing called the Federal Constitution. And and all of this, and it just, it was deemed sort of, we'll take that as read, but some people you have to explain things to real slow and loud, and apparently Casey County Clerk Casey Brother Davis is one of them. But the Federal Constitution trumps all of that.
I don't think you can explain anything to them at any decibel.
I mean, if the Kentucky Constitution, and it probably once did, had a provision in it that said, being as how the Bible says white folks is meant to be masters of black folks shall always and here and forever, for we declare with a capital D, be slaves. Well, see, that goes out the window, Devin, with your 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Yep.
You see, Kentucky Stan didn't even secede from the Union. which presented a bit of a conundrum, insofar as, for instance, the Emancipation Proclamation did not apply to Kentucky. Eh? Yeah.
fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're going to enjoy this because he wasn't done yet, Devin. Apparently, you can get all the time you need down there to the Tom Rotten Show. Rotten in the morning, only on W. Never mind. Feeling rotten? Well, you better not. That's against the law unless he asked you to. Oh, the imaging you could do for that program. Is this guy on some sort of right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, evangelical, gun-to-middleist station? You said you'd heard of Tom Rotten.
Is there any other kind down there other than sports?
Well, I mean, there used to be a progressive radio station down there. I mean, they run it. They done run Ed Schultz and everything when they wasn't getting preempted by Reds baseball.
Well, there was one in Huntington that ran clips of you before. About that.
Yeah. I think that was, and I can't remember the name of it. Kindred Communications was the owners of the station. I used to appear on Bobby Mitchell's program from time to time down there. Gerald asking one of those penetrating questions he's so good at. I wonder if Casey County Clerk Brother Casey Davis has himself an Ashley Madison account. By the way, And I don't know where the hell this came from, but we need to put out an Amber Alert, or maybe there already is one. Because Josh Duggars has gone missing from that rehab facility where he was supposed to be learning how the hard work will keep you from a purchase in the services of the Hooers. Yeah, he's missing.
I see. Well, he just decided he was going to go back to his sisters.
Well, Suzanne Titkemeyer, who goes by the name of Kalulu, not Cthulhu, damn it, Kalulu, and she runs the she runs the daily administration of the Spiritual Abuse Recovery website, No Longer Quivering, says that Josh has done gone missing from the rehab facility. Uh-oh.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Apparently, he went to Rockford, Illinois, to Reformers Unanimous. But it turns out that one of the fellows that was a counselor there at Reformers Unanimous, and I'm not being a smartass, it's not Reformers Anonymous, it's Reformers Unanimous. Turns out one of their counselors is doing 12 years in the stir for having an illicit sexual relationship with a little girl. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Over the clothes.
Yeah, that's what they say, isn't it?
Thank you.
So I don't know if he's going to show up on a milk. I don't know if he's going to show up on a milk carton or what, but it's disturbing.
No, there's nothing about the Duggars that isn't disturbing.
Well, that much is true.
I mean, it's if ever there was a case for mandatory birth control, I think that's
pretty well on it, yeah. And by the time, by the way, before we run out of time, just in case anybody was wondering, when they were hollering, everybody hollering about how these clerks need to do their job, well, Tom Rotten, in talking with Casey County Clerk Brother Casey Davis, it's tough keeping up. Well, in terms of that whole do your job thing, Devin, well, Casey County Clerk Brother Casey Davis says he knows what his job is. And he's going to do it. So get the hockey puck back.
When you stand for what's right, and when you tell someone of the danger that they're in, and I think that when a person lives a lifestyle of sin, whether it's homosexuality or drunkenness or drug addiction or adultery or thievery or any kind of sin that you continue in and live in,
accepting of course hypocrisy, bigotry, and hatred. Which he continues to live in, but, well, he's too busy trying to pluck the mote out of somebody else's eye, and he can't see the big old cross-tie railroad timber beam in his own, but we'll let him continue, because after all, everybody understands that being homosexual is just like being drunk, or a drug addict, or an adulterer, what's Josh Duggar doing in there, or a thief, you just keep on going there, talking to Tom Rotten there, Casey County Clerk Casey Davis, brother.
You're endangering yourself of spending eternity in hell. And so in my view of what the Bible says, when you're truly loving someone, you stand and you lovingly tell them this is not the way to heaven. This is not the way to right. And I think when we leave the tape on our mouth that society has placed, and when we stop telling people that there is a way, there is a truth, there is a life, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ, when we stop telling people that, we're not expressing love to them at all. And I think that loving people means that we tell them the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ and the way of the cross.
So he's going to do his job, Devin. And that means telling the homosexuals that they're going to hell, and they're not going to get to sit up on a cloud with Almighty Jehovah and Jesus and listen to Lawrence Welk for all eternity.
Something tells me that's not what the taxpayers of Greater Kentucky stand had in mind when they're writing this paycheck, but. That's all I just had in mind. He was going to push some damn papers.
And, you know, record deeds and wills and death certificates. And I mean, I wonder if any of these fools will record a gay death certificate. Probably so, because they're celebrating how they done went to hell. As Gerald puts it. And by the way, little
They'll
Timmy.
They'll probably be done in gold leaf.
A little Timmy, little Cindy, little Susie warning. Brother Gerald's using some of the fun words. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How in the fuck does a bag of dicks like this guy even get elected in the first place? Well, the answer to that, Gerald, is he is elected by a whole bunch of bag of dicks. And whatever you would call
a whole bunch of no dicks or short dicks or limp dicks.
Oh, and by the way, just in case you were wondering, Sister Clerk Kim Davis. Carol was just telling me she only found Jesus 4 years ago. Until then, who knows? She might have been marrying homosexuals without nobody even have to tell her. But then she met Joe Davis and his gun. On her fourth wedding. And she understood that the other ones, the previous ones, they didn't count. Because they wasn't God-fearing, upstanding, Christ-centered, Bible-believing marriages.
Oh, I see.
And then via Alien Jimmy, a new name I don't recognize in the chat room, but welcome. A little Bible verse as we get near the close of the program, Devin. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. And, of course, that's one of them books written by Saul, who changed his name to Paul when he went on the lam. And he wrote it probably in between times, huffing leather tanning fumes. But he said, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God.
Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what's good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. So, in other words, Paul's telling people, them nine wise souls up there that done said the homosexuals can get married, well, they done that with God's blessing. Oops.
Yeah. That's really Calvinistic, isn't it?
I'd say Jean Calvin probably read that verse 40 or 50 times.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
Yeah.
Well, if they over you, God put them there.
Precisely. Well, we got to roll out of here, Devin. I do appreciate the call. It's been a while.
All right. Well, see you around.
All right. Don't lose the hockey pucks or chew through the few that you have. You'll be needing them, I got a feeling.
I done chipped a fang.
You chipped a fang?
Yeah.
Oh, dang
it. It takes a while to turn those back.
Well, you're darn tootin' right it does. And then you got to polish them and file them and... How you gonna serve the Lord of this earth with a chip thing, Devin? Daggummit, be more careful, would you?
Yeah, well, you know, they don't grow back as fast drinking that true blood, so, you know, you gotta be careful.
Yeah, I understand. And don't forget to floss, preferably with the sinews of a Christian. Yeah.
Yes.
Devin, have a good one.
Night, Bob.
Later. Our buddy Devin up in the quiet zone. And thanks going out to Robert. Robert took us down on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge to $89.43 to go. Thank you, Robert. And thank you very kindly to Texas T. So that's $89.43, 13 minus 7 is 6. Wait, 13.6, and then 3 minus 0, carry the fraction. Well, we got $76.06 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge for this first day of September. Thank you very kindly, one and all. We have run plumb out of time here. Sorry I was late. I hope I'll be here for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. And if not that, I hope I'll be here for Thorn in the Side Thursday. Other than that, you know, all I can say is about 9:30, 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm going to say, and, you know, hope for the best. Y'all have a good night. Gina, always, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.